Hello, and welcome to Robbinsdale Revisited. In this episode, we swap stories with Ron Johnson, Adam Fezzenmeyer, and Jimmy Swan. Join us as we walk through their neighborhoods and revisit the chaotic fun of growing up in Robbinsdale in the 1970s and 1980s. We reminisce about games like box hockey and whack-a-butt, hanging out at Brookdale Mall and the Terrace Theater, and riding our bikes for miles without supervision. We talk about underage adventures at local stores and making our way to whiz-bang days. The conversation captures a rough-around-the-edges era of pickup hockey games, basement keg parties, and good old Robbinsdale rock and roll. Together, the guys offer a nostalgic, funny, and occasionally raw look at adolescence in a tight-knit suburban community where everyone seemed to know each other and kids were largely left to figure things out on their own.
All right, this is Adam here. I grew up on Drew Avenue across from Sanborn Park.
This is Jimmy. I grew up on 3512 Zenith. It was kind of like a right next to Minneapolis and above Lakeview Terrace Park, kind of over there, separated by Highway 52, which is now Highway 81.
Oh, Ron here. I grew up on 46 and Ewing, which is a little tiny, sort of a pocket of a neighborhood stuck up against a creek between Ryan Lake and Twin Lakes. And my family had moved there in 1954, I think. They built the house from Minneapolis. We used to actually own part of Pistol Cemetery in Minneapolis. Yeah.
Did you guys all go to Lakeview?
Oh, yeah, you know it.
Yeah.
We're Lions. We're proud Lions, yeah. You know.
I walked to Lakeview for 6 years.
6 years,
yeah. Can you go around and think of like one memory of just growing up at that school or that playground or walking back or school?
My favorite Lakeview, and I don't know if this is urban legend or not, but back in the day, Jeannie Hamilton was our principal, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
He was something straight out of like he could have played an extra in Saturday Night Fever, right? He quit the education business to go to Florida to start a roller disco.
Yeah.
Now, what? Yeah.
Yeah, I have roller disco, baby. Yeah, that's the future.
Yeah. So that's what we heard. It's like, where's Mr. Hamilton this year? Oh, yeah. Well, he retired and moved to Florida, got in on the roller skating rink.
Roller disco, baby.
Yeah.
What do you remember about Lakeview, Jim?
I remember floor hockey. I remember the eccentric Phi-Ed teacher we had, Joel Harmon, and how he invented a game that was called whack-a-butt. It was like he gave out like three or four mallets with pads, and people went around whacking each other on the butt. And I don't know if there was a point structure, if there was a winner or loser, but he would just blow his whistle and sit back in his chair and just go, and I was like, this is really, really strange. This is odd.
I think you stood in a circle, and someone got the whack-a-butt.
Is that how it goes?
And you walked around, and you chose who you would whack on the butt, and then they had to tag you. Then you ran like crazy around the circle to get to their spot, and if they tagged you before you got to that spot, you were out or something like
okay.
that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Duck, duck, gray duck.
Yeah, except whack-a-butt. Uh-huh. Yeah.
One thing I remember was King of the Hill, right? They'd have that huge snow pile that they'd plow up, right. And you were used to do whatever you wanted to stay on top of that hill. Yeah. So it was quite the throwdown that would happen on recess. Never made it to the top of that hill. Yeah. In kindergarten, they had the cakewalk, and I never won the cakewalk. I always wanted to win that cakewalk. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like, you know, duck, duck, gray duck, in a sense, old around. But you get a whole cake, right? Literally a whole cake.
Yeah, and the other thing that we'll probably get into a lot is just the whole music factor of Robbinsdale. And I remember an event that they had for the school. Remember the Castle Family Band?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, it was this family band. They were kind of like, you know, like they used to have family bands. Jackson 5, everybody knows, right? Well, the Castle Family, like, were from Northeast Minneapolis, and they showed up twice and put on a show band and doing obvious covers of the day. And I thought it was so cool that the family members and they always put the young kid on the drums, and it was just intriguing to me.
Yeah. I ended up playing with them at St. Margaret Mary's in Golden Valley.
Oh, you and Dave.
When it was me and John Thomas and Dave King.
Yeah.
And we played, and the Castle family played as well.
Oh, funny.
Yeah. Later on, when I was in, I think I was in 10th grade.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Well, as long as we're jumping around chronologically, did you guys go to school with the Jets?
Yeah, of course.
By the time I was there, they were out on a world tour. So
we have a great picture at the Historical Society of E.J. Cooper with his arms around Jets.
Right. And bonus points if you can remember the name of the Jets, Quasar or something like
that. Quasar.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
I think that's what they were called before.
Yes, you're correct.
Yeah, and I remember that everyone was always bummed out that they couldn't get the suburbs to play at the Cooper Proms because they always had to have Quasar.
We wanted them at the Robbinsdale Armstrong too, and we got like some lousy Fairchild or something.
Yeah, right.
You know, we kind of talked about just the fact that our parents just let us loose. One of the things we always did is we wandered over to West Broadway and into North Minneapolis because it seemed so much more exciting. It was like another world.
It was.
There it was.
What do you guys remember? We had an adventure trail. You know?
Well, that's when we'd go downtown.
We would always take the bus. We'd take the bus and we'd go downtown.
Again, you're just out of the house, do whatever.
And we'd walk. We'd kind of get off downtown and go to Sun's head shop.
Hockey.
Right. Make our way to Uptown where all the music shops were.
Yeah.
We got a Nude Coupe and...
So we called it the Adventure Trail because it was a trail that was between buildings and things like that would keep you out of trouble and it safely get you to growth music or drop on or right, or, you know, that's interesting.
Do you guys go to the Baskin Robbins that was over there?
Oh, sure. Well, yeah. And then a Sundeed corner store was over there too. They had a Sundeed with an RC Cola sign. It was across the street from Baskin Robbins, and that's where I would buy quarts of 3-2 beer because my friends at Henry knew you could score your 3-2 Budweiser there. I was 15 or 16.
Anybody have a paper route?
Briefly,
not me. I wanted one, but my mom basically anything I asked, my mother would just say no because I have five siblings and they all screwed everything up already. So they crashed your cars, they ruined the paper routes, so. I'd fill in once in a while, and then I'm like, I'm glad I don't do this.
I was a little kid. They had me work, and I was laboring since I was just old enough to walk. And my dad was like, you lazy bastard, get out and do something with yourself. So I always had to literally do stuff.
Yeah. Did you guys play T-ball?
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah.
I played baseball.
Yeah.
That was fun. I wasn't very good.
And you were the only hockey player?
No, I was
playing hockey.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have to get up at like 5 a.m. for practice?
No. Well, you know, there was at our age back then, the whole kind of park board leagues and the traveling leagues were kind of a new thing, and my mom would not let me do that the traveling stuff because ice time was so hard to get.
No money for that.
Well, yeah, and you'd be in like third grade and you would end up having like games or ice time at like 11 at night just because there weren't as many ice arenas back then. So I played park board league the whole time and I don't know, I quit like in ninth grade or something like that. But yeah, well, and growing up across from the park, I could just look out the window, see who was down at the ice rink. And if I wanted to go down there and hang out, there are certain people I would see down there and go, hell no.
Mark Bunny, the ice rink at Lakeview.
Yeah.
It was like, it ranged from like 13 years old to like 35 years old.
Oh, Lakeview Terrace.
And they would just, it would be a rough game.
Right. It was same with Sandy.
It was that stuff just wouldn't fly today, but it was like.
Right.
One of the games they could get a shoulder dislocated. I'm like, wow.
In a pickup game or actually a league game? Yeah, game.
Right.
Think of a story we were sort of talking about just getting out of the house when you're 13, 14. I always thought going downtown too was just sometimes we walked down West Broadway.
Yeah.
I mean, or we would actually walk to B Sharp Music. We'd just follow Lowry all the way across.
Wow. We're
put down to Friedman Shoes to buy a pair of the high top.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that. But think of something that you wouldn't want to tell your parents. That happened when you're out in the world, when you're, in junior high, wandering this neighborhood.
Oh, you're Robin's
guy. Maybe one at a time.
Well, I don't know. I was thinking about this, Pete, and it's like I have too many and I can't keep them straight. To go back, I was like in third grade. My parents were divorced. My mom was a working mother. In third grade, she decided I was old enough to be left up to my own. So that summer after, she didn't arrange any sort of daycare or babysitter or someone in the neighborhood even. And so I was left up to my own devices. And my good friend two doors down was 4 years older than me. And
What happened?
we hung around, and I think my mom thought it was probably okay because his mom was at home and he was 4 years older than me. But the reality was, I was tall for my age, so I passed for being older. He was shorter for his age, and people thought we were contemporaries. We were both like in like the same grade or whatever. And we used to hop on our BMX bikes and just buzz around and like ride all the way out to like BJ's bike shop in wasn't BJ's out near Zane,
Oh, wow.
like in Brooklyn Center, Brooklyn Park. Anyway, just being gone all day like that. Oh, well, and the other part of like the whole biking around craze is spending in the heat of the summer the Twin Lake boat launch, jumping our BMX bikes into the water. It was like an episode of Jackass. Yeah. Oh
You know
boy.
what happened to me? I don't know if you guys remember.
Tell.
In seventh grade, right before school in seventh grade, and I was jumping logs in the alley. You just put a plywood board over some log, or you just jump it and you'd build it up as high as you could get it, because it was stable and everything. So I decided I was going to ride down this backyard and jump off a retaining wall into a driveway. I didn't do my recon properly. The front wheel kind of stuck between the ground and the retaining wall, and my head hit the pavement at about 30 miles per hour, cracked my skull open, and I almost died. And I had to have surgery, brain surgery. And that's why, remember when I had the hat that I had to wear? I had to wear the hat all the time. But
Yeah,
I had a big
figured that
Frankenstein scar on my side of my head, and
I remember this too.
every I got picked on, and I became the leper, and the but it taught me who my friends were, So it was a pretty interesting lesson. But yeah, it was absolutely awful.
Well, we used to walk up to play video games up in Brookdale, right? So you'd take the tracks across by what was it, Federal Lumber Company at the time?
Yeah.
Used to jump trains down there too, which is something I want to tell my mom about.
Yeah, that's right.
There's slow moving coming out of the rail yard, so you can or out of the lumber yard, so you can actually get on a thing for a short distance. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. What about Sanborn Park? Did you guys head down there for box hockey?
Oh, box hockey like crazy. Yeah, right.
Yeah, but nobody knows what box hockey is unless they grew up and went to Sanborn Park.
Right.
Well, those of us down at Manor Park knew what it was.
It's you.
Those Valley. Tell me more. What is
Manor Park?
How do you put
Not to be confused with Spangers.
Right.
So box hockey was a box with a divider in the middle, and then
Like a wooden made by 2x4s, basically, and plywood.
Yeah. There were a couple of slots in the middle and then a slot at the end. You'd play with a shortened hockey stick and you would try and get the puck.
I don't think I played box hockey.
You never played box hockey?
Turn for that.
Yeah. So and you'd set the puck on
So it's like air hockey, but you had slots you had to make it through.
Someone who worked for the park board in the 50s probably said, let's just put this together and would dump them off at all the parks in the neighborhood, and
Pretty great.
became a thing. Yeah, it was fun.
But there's always people like inventing games, because even in junior high, like not just whack-a-butt,
Yeah.
but you remember in junior high, who was the teacher? Was it Mr. Sauer? No, Mr.
Hellstrom.
No, it wasn't him. It wasn't Mr. Falls. It was somebody else. It wasn't him. It was some guy. But he invented a game called Bass Kick, and it was half basketball, half kickball. Do you remember that? Bass Kick?
We played soccer at Noble, but half soccer, half hockey.
No, I was saying growing up, there's always teachers and people inventing their own games, like constantly.
Soccer was a sensation. It was basically,
There was no Bass Kick.
Oh, it was just soccer and hockey rink. Basketball, kickball, see.
So did you use a puck and hit the puck?
No, a soccer ball.
And hockey sticks?
No sticks. Just run around.
Okay.
But
the checking's loud.
Yeah.
With bass kick, you had bases and you could kick a basket. Oh, it was amazing.
Yeah.
What a special game.
at Lakeview, when they decided that, well, there were two games, and I could be confusing the story. So there was the morning announcements, right? Mm-hmm. And at the time, it was post-Hamilton, and it must have been Mr. Ingebrigtsen that was the principal. And Mr. Ingebrigtsen kind of had this kind of old man voice. His morning announcements were long and boring, but I remember him specifically saying one time, I know that you kids like to play smear the queer on the playground, and from now on, we will no longer be calling it smear the queer. From now on, just refer to it as smear.
Wow.
Any explanation?
No explanation.
Just as I had his time.
What?
Wow. Yeah.
And I think I kind of remember the same thing happening with Murder Dodgeball. Can no longer call Murder Dodgeball.
That was tough. Well, that was tough.
No headhunting.
Oh, yeah.
Did any of you guys ever skip school to go fishing on Ryan Lake for Northerns? There was one east spring when they were just, you couldn't keep them off your hook. And, like, everyone skipped school. It's the only time I really skipped school back in. This would have been Sandberg.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone's doing what?
All right.
Skip school, ground Sawyer, go fish. And I could just walk right down there, right, a couple blocks away. And literally, there was, like, 14 or 15 of us all lined up on that. It would have to be the northeast edge. And it throw it in there and eating frenzy.
Wow.
I brought home two fish that my mom cooked up. And I'm like, but how many years I lost off my life by eating that?
Eating those fish from Ryan Lake.
Like more than out of Ryan Lake.
Is Ryan Lake even?
I also watched how fertilizer blow up. They were right across the railroad track.
Oh, didn't?
That fertilizer company.
Didn't Surly get their water from Ryan Lake? Didn't Surly start on Ryan Lake, Surly Beer?
I don't think they got their water from there, but they were right over there.
I got their water. What did get your water from there? No. That's technically Brooklyn Center, so they have a Brooklyn Center water.
I don't know. Yeah. I was kidding.
I'm guessing just where you guys lived, you'd walk to Brookdale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what do you guys remember about hanging out there?
Rocky Rococo,
the mall.
Yeah. My
I always had friends work at fast food stands and get Frank food, one potato, two.
One potato, two.
I never did fast. I never worked for fast
food. My favorite thing about walking in there was the smell of a tobacco road when you'd walk in there. Mm-hmm. Smell like that lovely pipe tobacco scent. And people, you know, lined up on that one wall just smoking. Orange Julius. You gotta have an Orange Julius when you're there. Do those exist anymore? I don't know.
Of course, we've left out the terrace so far.
That was great. I used to see movies there all the time. That's what was wonderful there.
Yeah.
Remember the first one you saw?
Yeah. The one I remember the most is my grandma taking me to the original Bad News Bears in 76.
Probably there.
Yeah. Right. And her just being appalled by the language coming out of those little kids' mouths.
Yeah. A friend of mine's mom took like six of us to go see that. But she was not appalled. She thought it was great. We all thought it was great. We just thought it was the best movie.
They showed Blazing Saddles there for like an entire school year. It was like the only movie that they showed. So there must have been some hang up with distribution or management or whatever was going on there. So it was kind of the beginning of the end, I guess. Yeah. The last movie I remember seeing there was Sid and Nancy. And I know that I was still in high school, and I know the terrace lasted longer, and I probably saw something else after that. But
yeah.
And then you're seeing that. Did anybody here go to the premiere of Stop Making Sense? I
just heard about it from so many people. Yeah. And it was another one of those scenarios where I'm working at McDonald's and all my friends are doing cool stuff. I'm like, oh, no, I got to work. It's like, why didn't I just quit that job?
Right.
Was it at 36 in Broadway right there over by Terrace Theater? There was the Riddleton Berry store. There was a convenience store.
Well, this right on the corner.
And they didn't quite know that the drinking age, I think, was 21.
Or at the time?
Yeah, they'd ask you
if you're 19 or 18, and the drinking age was 19 briefly, then went to 21. At the time, I'm like 16 and maybe even 15, but we'd buy a beer.
I walked in there one time and actually bought, of all things, champagne. And I didn't even think champagne, even, I knew champagne because I had a can in my beer can collection as a kid, right? And I looked at it and I go, that's champagne. I'm going to try this. And it was like the predecessor to wine coolers. I bought it. And he asked me the exact same thing. Are you 18? Yeah, sure. I'm 18.
I know that you worked at Ward's.
Oh, yeah.
I worked at Ward's too. Yeah.
Wow. Remember in this story that Mike brought Rick Rude over?
Yeah, center of the wall. He brought Ravishing Rick Rude, and he was bigger than life. That's pretty impressive. Like, I wouldn't want to tangle with the guy.
Yeah.
And he was kind of shorter for Russell, wasn't he? Wasn't
Rick Rude? I think of Mike and I were about the same height.
What else do you guys remember about that mall? I spent a hell of a
time out there. There was always a weed dealer at Time Out.
And there was always, and for lack of a better term, just these tough chicks, these neighborhood girls.
Oh, yeah.
They talked like Joan Jett. They yelled when they talked. And they were just like, hey. You know, and they were always standing in front of the arcade smoking.
Yeah.
They were 14. You know, old ladies would walk by and crinkle up their noses at them. And they were all up on your end of town. The only reason I ever came up to your end of town.
Right.
Have you ever seen people I had met at Time Out were up there? Bad novelty.
Back when you had to leave the house and spend money to play video game. Yeah. I didn't get hooked in. I know a lot of people that really did.
I didn't have enough money to get.
Well, exactly. I didn't have enough money.
I didn't want to just throw it away on Donkey Kong.
Well, right. Exactly. That's the way I was too. I'm not much of a gambler. So even playing a video game, although I did play a lot of pinball when I was younger.
Yeah.
I remember going here's a complete opposite. I remember going in there with a dollar and then blowing 75 cents worth and going, I better keep this last quarter. I'm done. Because I never got very good at those games because I never played them very much. So it was just over immediately. So I never fell into that.
Well, you couldn't get served underage at like the Muni. Although I did see Kurt Hennig, speaking of wrestlers, walk out of there one time when I was working at McDonald's.
Yeah.
But you could get served 3-2 at Adolph's without too much hassle. Of course, it burned down in 86, right. So you may have missed it, Adam.
Oh, I mean, I missed that.
You mean the electrical fire?
Yeah, right.
Tell me more about this.
Oh, well, the comedy behind Adolph's is that it was a half a block away from the Robbinsdale police, less than half a block away from the fire department.
The doors the fire department open up.
Yeah.
When you opened them up, you looked at the back of the box.
And Adolph's burned to the ground.
Just across the street.
Just across the street. Yeah.
Yeah, burned to the ground. Anybody ever thought that Adolph's wasn't the greatest name for a bar?
Well, to put it into perspective, my family goes back to New Ulm, Minnesota, right? That's where most of my family comes from. If you walk through that...
The big German presence.
Yeah, and if you walk through the cemetery there's lots of guys named Adolf in the cemetery.
Yeah.
It lost its popularity after 1945.
Yeah. So you guys all went to Cooper, and I know you two are closer to my age. Remember when they closed Robbinsdale?
Yeah, I was still pissed.
You know,
I wanted a letter and get an R.
I think it's really interesting that right before I was going to go to junior high, they closed Robbinsdale Junior High, and right before I was going to go to senior high, they closed Robbinsdale Senior High. Which made me not be invested in this city or in the schools I went to, and I just wanted to get the hell out of here and go do something with my life. I didn't really.
James, you have to get your diploma. You need to be socially adjusted. You have to finish your school.
And I'm like, oh God, Mom. I just want to get out of here and go play rock and roll. That's all I wanted to do. I didn't care about anything other than that. But my mom, and she just gave me the lay on the guilt trip, you know.
You got to get confirmed as a Catholic faith, James. You don't want to go to purgatory.
You know, it's like, and God bless her. She was a wonderful woman. Mm-hmm. I loved her. So she was such a good mom. But my God, some of the stuff she just insisted upon, you know.
Well, what bothered me is they had closed Cooper, then had an illegal vote after they rolled that ball around the field in protest. They had an illegal vote where people voted in private, so you didn't know who voted for what, and they all got fined like $100. And then all of a sudden they closed Robbinsdale and opened up Cooper. And I'm like, so that's how politics works.
I just remember the level of resentment was
huge.
I was still left. I'm still boozed about it. Me too. I was in the same boat. The fight, you know, I said I might have
been more into school a little bit, but
yeah,
school's around. It is so weird.
Well, if you look at it from the aerial top, it looks like something.
Well, I mean, And then the funny thing is my sister ended up going to Robbinsdale Junior High because they reopened it as TLC.
Oh, right.
Did you guys ever go in there when it was a community center?
Oh, yeah. I spent so much time in there as a community center. That's where I spent my summers. My mom would bring us up there all the time.
Did a lot of swimming. Like,
oh, well, we better get into Whiz Bang Day.
Yeah, all the rickety rides and the cotton games and all the carnies.
Carnies.
Yeah, cars. Aww. And you had the crappy games and the crappy prizes and the rickety rides that God knows they could have broken any time.
Yeah.
Oh, you'd have people tripping on acid later in the evening and the beer tent and just mayhem. Yeah. But it's all in the dark. So when you're 16, 15, 16, 17, it's perfect.
What did do you guys remember the prizes, the mirrors?
Oh, yeah. It's
Hoarders'
mirrors.
Yeah.
I had a Billy Joel mirror.
I had a Def Leppard mirror.
Weren't they supposedly Coke mirrors?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can separate your shake from your body, right, bro. You know what I'm saying?
But with Whiz Bang Days, the other thing was just that's where you'd ran
into
everybody.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I didn't have to call somebody up and say, hey, you want to go down Whiz Bang Days? I would just walk down there by myself and find 10 people that I knew while you're in around, you know?
Well, my favorite thing about Whiz Bang Days, being a music fan, is that the Muni would always have that beer and brat bust or whatever they called it in the back parking lot. They'd always have live music.
Yeah.
I don't know if they checked IDs or what, or if it was enclosed. I don't know. All I remember is thinking it was pretty cool being able to watch live music.
Yeah.
Robbinsdale. That's my Whiz Bang Day memory. Biggest memory. Obviously the rides and spin art from the carnies. Mm-hmm. Press the button and have, like a blob of paint look like a Rorschach test. But no, hanging out up here, watching a couple times, I remember seeing Kix. Remember Al Watke's band Kix? Al Watke was the guy that was in one of the last lineups of Badfinger.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, there was a Keating Music Store was right over here, mm-hmm. pretty briefly.
That was our local music store.
Yeah.
For a minute. You know.
For a minute. Yeah, they were in on Bass Lake Road for years, and then they moved over here.
So like right across the street,
literally, like that stretch that's now demolished. But well, and it goes back to growing up in Robbinsdale. You knew as a kid, you knew about the Trashmen, right? You knew about Still Rovin'. You knew about Crow and their who's the band that did Liar Liar, Castaways.
Oh,
Castaways. Well, if I'm not mistaken, the drummer from the Castaways ends up in Crow. This West
Gypsy,
yeah, West Metro Robbinsdale connection to a lot of 60s rock and roll that we all knew about and grew up with. And it inspired me to, really want to try and play in a band. And I had messed around a little bit. And then we knew who each other were, Jimmy and me. Yeah. So I'm his drummer. We play with Jonathan Thomas a little bit.
But I'm all a bass player.
Yeah. You know, yeah. He was out of our league. So he went on to bigger and better things. Anyway, Jimmy and I end up in a band, but Steve Robbie ends up joining the band. He was our most constant bass player. Didn't really do much other than keg parties and basement parties. And
I always fit in as the roadie and be hauling their equipment around.
Yeah,
grabbing the
keg parties end up playing. Let me tell you.
Oh, well.
He played if I
was. And looking back on this, what was your average keg party? It was usually $2 a glass, right?
Back something in our, like that, you know?
And then when we would play, they charged $3 a glass and give us a buck off every glass. It was, we might make $100. And that's not bad in 1985. Oh,
for a bunch of teenagers?
For a bunch of teenagers. For a three-piece band,
there's beer money.
Yeah, that's beer money.
Drink for free.
But I remember we play these parties and the cops would just be there. We, play 20 minutes and the cops were there. And then everyone would scatter. That's before they could bust you for, this catering to a minor or whatever they
well, they could have, but they just
chose not to.
It was a different time.
Yeah. It was just crazy because we'd sit, the party would get rolling. We would play it we'd play early too, to try and avoid the police. So we'd play at 7. The sun would still be up and we're talking summertime parties. And it's just okay, we're going to play and the cops are going to come and then we're going to tear our stuff down. The worst was over at Grimes when you guys were.
Oh, God. That was the. Yeah.
People learned about that. It didn't take long. And because I was still in high school and these guys were just barely out of high school, it was probably all my fault because I was still in high school that all the underage kids started showing up. And the cops would come and you know, shut us down all the time. And eventually they started arresting us. And we all got in.
At Grimes?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He'd have, like, red glasses all over the yard.
Right.
Cops are kicking those things out of the way, trying to get to the door.
Yeah, well, the worst experience with the Robbinsdale cops over there was when we had just bought a gigantic PA system, spent, like, real money on a PA system. It's all set up in the basement. You know, this PA system you could have used.
Well, it was Bonnie Raitt's old PA system.
I don't even know.
Yeah, we got it from Newt Capay.
Yeah. So it's gigantic. The party kind of is the break in the PA system party. We do our thing. The cops end up coming, and the cops come in and they just storm down the steps and start kicking everybody out of there. And Jimmy lived there. I'm trying to, like, turn off the PA system and take care of this new baby that we had just bought, and, you know, and hide drumsticks and make sure all the ants, shutting everything down. And next thing you know, I'm in handcuffs because I'm not leaving the premises as I was ordered to. End up in the back of a squad car screaming my head off at this cop.
With Officer Baumgard?
No, it wasn't Baumgard. My mom had to come and pick me up at the Robbinsdale police station. They didn't charge me with anything.
Still painted light blue on the inside there?
The Robbinsdale police station? Too much trauma. I don't remember the color.
Thanks for listening. I'm Crystal Boyd. Robbinsdale Revisited is brought to you by the Robbinsdale Historical Society. Our little history museum is located at 4915 42nd Avenue North in the heart of Robbinsdale. We're open Fridays and Saturdays from 10 to 3. You can also visit us online at robbinsdale.org. You found this episode, so you know where to find the next one.
Into the city every Saturday to see our friends. Back home, sitting hand in hand, when the evening ends, when the evening ends, when the evening ends, in Robbinsdale, in Robbinsdale. Ooh.
Our theme music is provided by Gabe Barnett and The Rounders.